Welcome back, everyone. I am Cass Piancy, and I'm joined, as usual, by my partner in crime, Mr. Bennett Tomlin. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, Cass. How are you?
Well, better than a lot of people, because, we're about to go over it. We've previously talked about Crypto Capital Corp. Today, we are talking about Reginald Fowler, who was one of the key players involved in that. Bennett, what are our episodes that talk about him so people can get a background?
Episode 6 is the main episode we did on Crypto Capital Corp. We mention it, of course, in episodes 1 and 2 in terms of their relationship with Tether and Bitfinex, and episode 7 in terms of their relationship with Quadriga CX.
Okay, so there's two episodes that you can try to listen to and get a background on Reggie Fowler if you want. There's threads online and stuff about his previous involvement in other kind of shady dealings in regard to a car wash business, some other stuff. The whole thing, I don't know how I didn't realize this, but his whole endeavor with the NFL, or was it his own league, was connected to this whole plea bargain that happened today. But I'm getting ahead of what we should be talking about. Bennett, what did Reggie Fowler plead guilty to?
Operating an unlicensed money transmitter, bank fraud, wire fraud, and a couple of related charges also surrounding the unlicensed money transmitter. Yeah, all of them activities he engaged in when he was one of the principals of Crypto Capital Corp. We should probably just pause briefly here and summarize what Crypto Capital Corp was. For the full story, go back to episode 6. But it was an unlicensed payments processor that worked with a who's who's list of the cryptocurrency industry, including Bitfinex, Tether, Kraken, Quadriga, and BitMEX. And they also, apparently, allegedly, may have been engaged in money laundering for the Colombian cartels. And that's why one of their other principals, even Manuel Molina Lee, was arrested in Greece and extradited to Poland. Reggie Fowler was helping run the America side of their operations through a bunch of entities, many of them branded under the Global Trade Solutions name. Yeah, and so we're talking about Reggie Fowler today because he pled guilty to all the charges related to running this part of Crypto Capital Corp.
The other people involved, you mentioned Ivan Manuel Molina Lee. Mm-hmm. There were two other individuals involved in this who are still wanted, as far as I know, and have not been discovered as of yet. I believe both are located in Israel to this day. It's Ravid and Oz Yosef. So they've been on the run since this time. We don't know where exactly they are or what is destined to happen to them. This story still is going to, I think everyone suspects there's more to play out here, that Reggie perhaps could try to implicate other people in this and try to maybe make his deal a little bit better, because today he found out, while we had the opportunity to listen to the trial, this is something I don't get to do very often, so it was interesting to me to listen to the guilty plea live without getting into the exact details of what each count amounts to in terms of years behind bars. He is looking at possibly up to 90 years consecutively behind bars, which for a 63-year-old man is a certain death sentence, and that was difficult to hear. As someone who knows the bad things he's done and that he's made, it's not fair to even call them mistakes. He knew a lot of the bad stuff that he was doing. He's screwed a lot of people over.
And we should probably provide a little bit of context on some of the extra bad stuff he was doing. Besides like the stuff he pled guilty to today, the running the unlicensed payment processor, the bank fraud, all that, like he was embezzling 10% off the top at Crypto Capital Corp. He was running two sets of books. He had counterfeit bills and equipment to counterfeit more, fake bond certificates totaling over billions of dollars. Like this was, he was committed to this, but you're right. Listening to him today, like when he was doing the plea, it was obvious that he sounded broken. It was when he, like, after he heard like the 90-year number.
Yeah, and just so everyone understands that they discussed the number of years for each count, and the judge went through it and said, like, you understand that you're looking at blah, 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 up to X amount of years plus X amount of years as supervised release afterwards. And he would go, yes, 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 right, through these five counts. And then at the very end, the judge explained that, like, these may not run concurrently. They might run consecutively, and the maximum penalty for you is 90 years. Now, look, he's probably not going to get 90 years. He is a 63-year-old man, and the odds that he sees that type of penalty, I think, is just really not going to happen. But I think realistically, on the other end of this, is that, like, a 15-year sentence could still be a death sentence for a 63-year-old. So I know he's done a lot of bad stuff. It's just, I don't know. It never feels good. This is never a victory lap, you know?
No. And this gets into, like, how strange this entire trial has been, right? Because previously he was working on a plea agreement. And so under a plea agreement, you can get certain things conditionally from the prosecutors and stuff about your sentence. And then that deal ended up getting blown up that day when he went into the courtroom for reasons that are somewhat strange and hard to divine from the transcript. And now at this point, all he was doing was taking an open plea, which means he's making these pleas today with no guarantees, no idea of what's going to happen, just like throwing yourself at the mercy of the U.S. judicial system. And looking at the U.S. judicial system, I can't imagine that feels good for anyone.
Yeah. And again, to provide context there, like, what Bennett is saying is that Reggie kind of made a fool of the defense, or not of the defense, well, of both, of the defense and the prosecution, and probably the judge felt like a bit of a fool as well, because everyone thought that they had agreed upon this guilty plea previously, and then at the very last second, Reggie was like, no, never mind, I'm not pleading guilty, forget it, I want a new lawyer. And then he wanted a new lawyer after that. And I think...
Then he wasn't paying the lawyers. And then he had no money to pay a lawyer. So he had to find a lawyer who would agree to do it with no promise of money, which is a hard thing to find.
Exactly. So basically, you had all these delays, which I think, unfortunately, you know, like, I don't know. I don't know how to examine this, because we've been so invested in this story that I do think he deserves... I mean, honestly, he deserves prison time for sure with the amount of bullshit he's put into the system. I have no doubt he deserves some prison time, which is where I think I differ from some people. Like, I do believe in prison to some degree. I just don't think it's fair to give somebody, like, a life sentence, basically.
And that's probably not what he's going to get here. And now that he's made this plea, my understanding is that basically between now and sentencing, all he can do to improve his lot is to cooperate and help out the investigators and other prosecutors and stuff, which is fascinating. And this gets into right at the end of this hearing today. They started talking about the potential forfeiture and how the U.S. attorney expects that the total forfeiture for this case will be about $750 million, and that if this would have gone to trial, they would have presented co-conspirator statements. Which one, $750 million has to be the majority of assets that Crypto Capital Corp would have remaining at this point. And the other interesting wrinkle there is that the Department of Justice's co-conspirator statements, or is confident they could get co-conspirator statements if this had gone to trial.
Do we know how much of their funds have been frozen across the multiple jurisdictions now? Because I know there was a freeze in Portugal, right? There was a freeze in Poland.
Yeah.
And there were freezes in America as well, right?
I want to say it was about $315 million in America and, like, at least $750 million in total, I thought, because that's why the funds became inaccessible for Bitfinex and Tether. The $850 million, right, is because Crypto Capital had all these accounts frozen in the U.S., Portugal, and yeah.
Do we have any idea what this would mean for Bitfinex now? If this is forfeiture and this money goes, I mean, forfeiture, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a lawyer, but I presume that forfeiture means that money, any funds, any assets that the government can get their hands on go straight to them.
My understanding is that other parties would have an opportunity to, like, try to make a claim that those assets are rightfully theirs. Mm. As we've said before, I imagine that might be difficult for Bitfinex and Tether because there was no contract, there was no agreement, and I imagine the documentation on both sides of this arrangement is sparse and may not contain all the necessary information to prove whose dollars are whose.
But it could be good for them then. It could be good for Bitfinex. It could be great for Bitfinex and Tether, and they could be getting their money back.
Or it's not. Or it's not good for Bitfinex and Tether.
It might not be. They might not get it back. I mean, this is where the coin flip happens, right? Either they get the money back and it's great for them, or they don't get any of the money back because they're not able to provide sufficient proof.
I'm less interested in $750 million for a stablecoin that has a market cap of $80 billion, you know? I think the consequences and things that other parties would be interested in at this point is less about just the money and more about who knows what and what is out there to know.
I mean, I think a lot of us still presume that Reggie Fowler is going to name names or whatever. I think when I heard that 90-year sentence, I'm kind of thinking that they're not interested in working with him anymore, that they've had enough of him pulling their chain and kind of just having his way with them for so long to the point where they're just like, okay, we're just throwing the book at you. We're done here.
And that's understandable, considering the last time, like when Reggie was initially contacted by federal investigators, he agreed to cooperate. And as part of his agreement to cooperate, he was not supposed to disclose his cooperation to any of his co-conspirators. What Reggie instead decided to do was to immediately message his co-conspirators. So, yeah, I think that there's a good chance that you're right. I just imagine he's going to be looking for any option he can to get that number as low as possible.
Maybe. I just don't see him being very cooperative using our historical examples here. So I think we're still kind of hopeful optimism when it comes to that. I just don't think it's going to happen. In that sense, I think this hasn't been as much of a bombshell as we all expected it would be. Like, it makes some good points in the sense of there are consequences for doing this stuff, and the consequences are quite serious if you want to fuck around and find out. But
yeah, bank fraud is a serious thing.
Meanwhile, we have Arthur Hayes and all these people from BitMEX and stuff being accused of whatever and reaching a plea bargain. And no, I don't think any of those guys are going to do a day of jail time. So it's quite interesting, like the different dynamic at play here, because those guys, I don't know what they were being accused of. Was it conspiracy to commit wire fraud or something?
I thought most of their violations centered around the Bank Secrecy Act.
Regardless, like it's still interesting to me that those people, for whatever reason, are not prosecuted in the same way as Reggie. And maybe Reggie wouldn't have been prosecuted this harshly if he had cooperated at the beginning. Then again, Arthur Hayes went on the goddamn run, man. Like, I mean, it's not like he was exactly cooperating with authorities either. But I don't know. I guess maybe it's the lawyers you're able to hire. I honestly just have no idea.
I imagine still having enough money to pay lawyers helps. I imagine not lying about your cooperation helps. And I imagine not blowing up a plea agreement during the plea hearing also probably helps. And like, it's not directly referenced in any of Reggie's charges, but even Manuel Molina Lee of Crypto Capital Corp was arrested on suspicion of money laundering for the Colombian cartels using Crypto Capital Corp. I sometimes feel as though some of the additional attention paid to Reggie Fowler is because of those potential links to the drug trade in Crypto Capital Corp, whereas that was not a key factor in, say, the BitMEX case.
Yeah, that's a really good point. This has been a story that we've been following, you and I, for like 4 years now, like fully 4 years now. This has been one of the
Before
main stories
any of the arrests.
We focused on. Yes, exactly. We were watching Reddit and finding out about Crypto Capital Corp as it cascaded and came down. I guess I'm wondering at the end of this, there's still obviously fugitives at large and we don't know what the fuck happened to Ivan Manuel Molina Lee. No one seems to know what happened to him other than it seems like he's still in prison. We still just don't have a clue. What is your takeaway at the end of this? How do you feel? Does this feel like a, does anything concrete about this?
Crypto Capital Corp was always like one of the most striking examples of criminality we had, with the counterfeit bills, with the embezzling, with the second set of books, with one of these people getting picked up for the connections to the cartels. And it was also always such a weird company to try to pin down, between the like dozen different shell corporations, the nebulous relationship between Oz Yosef and even Manuel Molina Lee, the like period where Oz and Ravid were on the run, but you were still able to track her because she was still putting reviews out on Google. And so it has been this entirely strange story. But when I was listening today, I was struck, much like you were, that when they said the 90 years and I listened to Reggie's reaction, I did not feel good. It did not feel like a great moment. Did not feel like a moment full of justice. It was the best case scenario. When you're going after criminals, is that the criminal ends up in a pretty shitty situation, often with their life effectively ruined. And yeah, we think they deserve it, but like, and Reggie did a lot of really bad things. Like, he's another one of those cases where it doesn't seem like you should be on his side, but it was still just really strange, like listening to him and hearing him break and listening to his story where he's talking about like trying to start up this payment processor and stuff. And it was, I feel strange. I don't have a good read on it. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people imagine we're these heartless cynics that, are just doing victory laps when moments like this happen. And you know, yeah, like I said, we've been following this for so long. In some sense, you'd hope that we'd be like feeling the, we got it right. Definitely not. And it sucks because I feel the same way I do about other stuff, like the Terra thing that, that'll come out after this, but our Terra episode, where I get so frustrated by these occurrences. Like, obviously, I think he should pay back as much money as possible to whoever he owes money to, and then go to prison for a while. I don't know, maybe 5 years or something, and then have to work for the rest of his life outside of prison to pay people back that he still owes money to, like whether it's the government or creditors, right? I don't know. I'm conflicted for sure, and I don't think that just throwing someone who does crimes like this in prison for a very long time suffices, really. It just doesn't actually work in terms of making justice feel like it's been served. I think about Madoff and like how he, you know, he died in prison, you know, and in some sense I'm like, well, you know, if any financial criminal deserved that, it's him. But like, I don't know how much money they ended up getting back. A lot of it was just gone. And there's nothing you can do to make that better besides like, I don't know. You hope that you could like in some sense release someone and make them pay their way back after it all happens. Just force them to work for the people they've hurt.
Well, yeah, and the complicating matter whenever you're discussing this in the United States is that our prison system is particularly punitive and cruel, right? It is not uncommon for human rights organizations to lodge complaints with the UN that United States prisons are killing an absurd number of people, which makes anyone going to prison in the U.S. seem like it better be really fucking justified, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I don't think this dude is a violent criminal.
Maybe some small financial stuff in the past, I think.
Yeah, he's done financial crimes for sure. I have no doubt about that before and up to the point that he was guilty of this stuff. No doubt about it. He's hurt a lot of people financially. And absolutely, I agree. He should be punished for that. That was just, it was hard to hear that. It's teaching me some good stuff. One, I think like we learned this after a couple years of following the Tether stuff, but like you just got to be patient. There's none of this stuff moves at the speed you hope it's going to. I think we've been frustrated with the SEC for years now, and you hope that they get their acts together at some point, and maybe they will. Maybe they will. You know, maybe they will catch up to all this stuff and get the people that they need to get. But when they do, or if they do, I hope that it doesn't amount to stuff like this. I'd prefer to not feel horrible about criminals getting caught for doing criminal shit. It'd be nice if we could walk away from this and be just actually be like, well, that excellent. Criminal caught who harmed people really financially in numerous ways, a lot of people, and isn't this good? Now he's going to do some jail time, you know, repent, learn how to be a better person, hopefully, and then go outside and pay back all the people he hurt. But that is not how the American justice system works. That's not how the prison system, the private prison system works here. And maybe this is the liberal part of me just coming out in full force, but it's a bummer. But that's going to do it. That's our update on the Reggie Fowler situation. We'll have sentencing in, what did they say, August, I believe? And that should be interesting because Reggie doesn't want, he says he has a different theory than the government's theory. So we're going to hear Reggie's theory about what has actually transpired and why he's hoping that they will not give him 90 consecutive years in prison. And goddamn, I hope he figures out what that is going to be because I don't want him to do 90 years either. So good luck, Reggie. I never thought I would say that and mean it, but good luck, bud. And so that was an episode. I don't know what I'm supposed to say at the end of this now. Bennett told me if it's not good, I am going to get in big trouble. Big trouble. I don't even know what that means anymore, man. I'm working for free however many years until I get paid again. Come on, man. What is this? What are we doing? Leave a rating. Leave a like. Leave a review. Bennett, man, give me a paycheck.